Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I wasn't. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, what was your conclusion from the diatribe on natural religion as understood by the Founding Fathers?
Well, I just said that I had heard, or what I was getting from it was that maybe where the conversation today breaks down is we are imposing onto the Founding Fathers, because they were predominantly Christians, and this was, and that was the predominant religion of the day, that we're imposing those values or beliefs onto what they were intending with what they were doing.
Yeah, well, no, that's not what I was attempting to do.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to build any case other than to share what at least one historian believes was the understanding of the Founding Fathers regarding religion. They saw natural religion as the generally accepted premises that we observe and conclude by using logic and reason. So they would put it into the camp of philosophy. Denominations, theologians, have at it. Go ahead with your squabbles over Lord's Supper, baptism, church polity, knock yourselves out. That is not the concern of the government. That's up to theologians to hash out. But the government did believe that it was good to foster a belief in religion. And predominantly then it was Christian, but I think, and please note, anything I say on this subject, it is certainly open to scrutiny. Going back to figure out the worldview of people long dead, it's a little bit of a challenge in a complicated issue like national government. Nevertheless, these fellows saw that for this type of government to work, There needs to be natural religion, a general understanding. We're accountable to someone. We'll call it nature's God. They wouldn't call it Jesus Christ. They wouldn't call it the Trinitarian God. They would call it nature's God. And as long as we agree that that God is going to hold us accountable for good that we pretty much sense is like this, then we're going to be judged. There's going to be justice for bad stuff that we pretty much agree is that. Then we'll promote that. But they weren't seeking, it seems, to promote denominationalism. They were seeking to promote a general good and a recognition that a society like this simply cannot work without God. It just can't. And aren't we seeing that these days? That God has been displaced, and look at the anarchy that follows. Oh. I hate it when my ADHD gets ADHD. I was going to share the article that I found about the cell phones killing the kids, but was reading another article about how postmodernism and the concept of postmodernism was just a ruse. You know, it was a book that was written 20 years ago, and I think I can find it here someplace. That was written 20 years ago that basically laid out the case. They aren't really arguing for a lack of truth. They have a defined set of beliefs. And it is contrary. They are absolutists when it comes to their morality, but it's in stark contradistinction to Christian absolutism. And he predicted that 20 years ago, and that's what we're seeing today. That's the battle. That we are seeing that postmodernism is merely the mechanism to undermine those values and replace them with godless ideologies. But that isn't the article. And by the way, if I could, please note, if you heard something that was agenda-driven in the presentation on natural religion, it wasn't. I don't have a... Well, I was going to say dog in that fight, but I think that's a terrible slogan. Dog fighting is awful. What a terrible thing. The people who do that, it's like, really? You want to train dogs to be nasty and then stand around and watch them? Honestly, how barbaric is that? How cell phones are killing our kids and what we can do about it. Found the article. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt. Who is he? He's the professor of ethical leadership at Leonard and Stern School of Business at New York University. He's got a book called The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. And he makes it clear, no social media until they turn 16. Because he's seen, to me, I know you could argue, and this is always the debate on talk shows, isn't it? You bring in an expert who says, we've got the report and the study. No, actually, that study is flawed because how else do you explain the radical change in children met around 2010? Well, let's see. Barack Obama was president. I guess we could blame him. Let's see. They stopped making episodes of Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, that could be it, I guess, but maybe. And I don't know if that's the year they stopped making Sherlock Holmes. Although we did watch a movie about, it was called Mr. Holmes. We caught it. It was about Sherlock Holmes at the end of his life. Again, fiction. When he was losing his faculties, he couldn't remember. And he was on a quest to try to recall his last case that drove him into retirement. We didn't have to fast forward once. Hey, there's something unique on TV these days. On TV, you tend to get people who undermine one study. No, we promote a study, and then we all end up going, I don't know what we're supposed to think. Well, how else are we supposed to attribute the mental health melees that we are seeing in our kids these days that started in 2010 if it is not the internet, specifically the smartphone? And this fellow, he's making that clear. We're at a tipping point as a society. And if grown-ups, this is his words, and if grown-ups don't take action, they could risk the mental health of all young people indefinitely. Whoa. Kids used to have play-based childhoods. He observes that we've moved away from that because it wasn't safe to send the kids outside to play. And I think to a degree, obviously, that is true. And every parent needs to keep those precautions in mind. But what did we do? We said, well, we'll give them technology because after all, that's the smart person's thing. And so we put them in front of technology and they started watching it for hours and they abandon play-based activities. If you're probably over 40, maybe 50, you remember this. Go outside and play. I got nothing to do. Figure it out. Now go. And out you went. And you played. And we determined that wasn't safe. Bring the kids inside and put them in front of violent videos. Apparently, we determined that was safe. We've overprotected our children in the real world, and we've underprotected them in the online world. In the early 2010s, it used to be that self-harm was not a thing 12 and 13-year-olds were doing. Older girls did that, but in the 2010s, hospital emergency room visits for self-harm from 10 to 14-year-olds tripled. Why? So here are the rules that he suggests. Number one, no smartphones before high school. You can make that call, mom and dad. But I think the evidence is in. We better do something to limit their exposure. We must clear them out of middle school and elementary school. Let kids have a flip phone or phone watch when they become independent, but no access to the internet. Two, no social media until 16 because they weren't made for children. Platforms are made for more sophisticated, and I don't mean necessarily in a good way, but more sophisticated communication, images, worldviews, activities. Number three, phone-free schools. It was Ireland, I believe. There was a district in Ireland that said, as the parents got together and said, we're done. The kids are doing so poorly in school. and the teachers were having a miserable time trying to control the kids. So they decided no cell phones. I get it. What about the school shooters? What about the... I agree. We should consider how we keep our kids safe. Of course we should do that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that a child should have social media sitting in their pocket distracting them during classroom hours. Number four, more independence, free play, and responsibility in the real world. We need to roll back the phone-based childhood and restore the play-based childhood. Here's an interesting note from this psychologist. Kids are somewhat sex segregated online. They tend to interact with their own gender. The situation is unconducive to heterosexual dating and marriage. How fascinating is this? I think the separation between boys and girls and their rising rates of anxiety are going to drive rates of marriage and heterosexual childbearing down faster than they've been going. And they've been going down for decades. Uh-oh. Are our cell phones grooming our children? What should you do, Mom and Dad? I have to confess, I don't have the magic solution. But do something. You must. This is Wretched Radio. You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention Christians, are you tired of the world telling you to shut up? Well, we figured you were because we are too, and our response is not to shut up, but to speak up even louder. That's right, we are launching our biggest and boldest initiative ever, the Gospel Partners Media Fellows Program. It's our very own Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 straight shooting, theologically sound voices will be joining this ministry to create powerful podcasts, videos, resources, books, and webinars. And these men include people like Pastor Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. John Krotz, and others. We are building a Christian Daily Wire, and we need your help in order to do it. Join our $250,000 match campaign by becoming a gospel partner today. All of the details you can find right now at wretched.org/fellows, and we can make a difference together. wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just in the nick of time. This is Wretched Radio. If you're taking notes and you want to know the title of the book written 20 years ago, it's The New Absolutes, and it revealed that the whole postmodern, post-truth, tolerant, what's good for you is good for me, just, you know, let's just let each other live, total farce. Stating societal skirmishes being fought in the political and moral domains were not between moral relativists and moral absolutists, but rather between two absolutist camps. In other words, postmoderns, and we're seeing this, hey, we just want to be able to visit our loved ones in the hospital. Hey, we just want acceptance. Hey, we just want marriage. Hey, we want affirmation. Hey, you better do this or you're going to be canceled. What happened? It was progressively, no pun intended, progressively revealed that postmoderns had absolute morality, all anti-biblical, but they didn't come to play. It was merely a vehicle to drive us all off the cliff. The person who wrote the book, Pastor William Watkins, he chronicled 10 or so examples of the differences between the two warring factions. The foundational distinction between them was that the traditional absolutists had, for the most part, a Christian underpinning, while the new absolutists rejected God. The former had a transcendent, immutable groundwork, and the latter, arbitrary, humanistic, ever-evolving, but absolute. They knew what they wanted. Even though it kicked God to the curb, this, by the way, is from Robin Shoemaker, even though it kicked God to the curb, the new absolutism had rejected the typical atheist conclusions reached by Enlightenment thinkers. So Enlightenment thinkers, we might be going full circle here, asserted that a statement could be empirically verified. And if it can't, it should be discarded. Even atheists used to get that. Think natural religion, natural law. Call it common sense if you like. But if we couldn't substantiate a claim, then you toss the claim away. The new atheists, they do not believe that. They are not Enlightenment atheists. They are absolutist atheists. They don't want any sort of moral objectivity involved, including ethical declarations. Without God, all things are permitted, stated Dostoevsky. And that's exactly where they've been going. In 1881, William Graham received a letter from Charles Darwin, who thought about the matter of ethics without God. And he wrote this. This is Darwin. "With me, the horrid doubt always arises whether the conviction of man's mind, which has been developed from the mind of the lower animals, are of any value or at all trustworthy. Would anyone trust in the convictions of a monkey's mind? If there even are any convictions in such a mind? In other words, if we're just monkeys, there's no morality. There's no values. There's nothing transcendent." And even Darwin got that. And he was concerned about where the idea of a lack of any sort of transcendent deity would have on culture. And that's exactly what we are seeing today, isn't it? That the absolutist rules that were always in the mind of progressives are now in full color display. Headline number one to substantiate that: Planned Parenthood executed abortions were fourth leading cause of death in the United States. Isn't that lovely? The fourth leading cause of death. In the meantime, our president, denying reality, guts Title IX from not the B. Well, that, of course, allows men to compete in women's sports. But furthermore, his new push gives schools power to punish kids for not using preferred pronouns. And he's claiming to be a Roman Catholic, and he is detached from natural religion. His mind is darkened. This is Riley Gaines. You know, I simultaneously appreciate Riley Gaines. On the other hand, she causes me to bristle, not because of her person or personality, but because we seem to have a woman leading the charge to defend women, and that ought not to be. It should be men stepping up and saying, no, I saw a picture. Again, I cheer for it. It was some high school girls, about 7, 8 girls, standing on the sidelines of the track, of the running track, while a dude who thought he was a lady is sprinting around the thing, and they just wouldn't participate. And they were cheered, and I went, yeah, no, that's brave, that's good. But they shouldn't have to be fighting those battles. Sorry, I know that sounds, you know, sexist and all. But where are the men stepping up to say, no, we are not going to let you do this? I don't think women should have to be fighting these battles. Having said that, I appreciate Riley Gaines. She stated that the Biden administration has just officially abolished Title IX as we know it. Here's what this means. Men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Okay, so here's something the fellas could do. This is actually Mrs. Friel's idea, because we saw a video, I think it was over the weekend, we saw a video. There was a race, and there was a boy in the girls' track, and he was ahead by like 100 yards. It was ridiculous that these girls were just being left in the dirt. And I thought, you know what? Here's something the guys could do. The boys' track stars could say that they identify as a girl, and they all run in the girls' race, and then they leave this average dude in the dust because he was average for boys. He wasn't a standout, but now he is when he runs against the girls. What if all the boys just invaded and went, there you go. Now you're not going to win. Are you sure that you want to identify as a girl, dude? Men will have full access to bathrooms and locker rooms. Absolute insanity. Men can be housed in dorm rooms with women. Isn't that nice? That your freshman daughter gets assigned a freshman girl roommate who has a shaving kit. And it's not for his legs. This is our federal government. Students and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. Preferred pronouns. When I hear that, I always think about Jordan Peterson. You know, that was his claim to fame up in Canada when he was a professor, psych prof in Toronto. They were mandating he got to use these pronouns. And he said, look, I might use somebody's pronoun if I make that decision, but you cannot compel me to use words I don't agree with. And even if I do, you still can't compel me to speak those words. That's what catapulted him to fame. If you get a chance, Babylon Bee did an interview with Jordan Peterson. It's 20 minutes long and it's funny. I couldn't tell if Jordan Peterson was in on the gag, but he sure did play with it. The guy was just an utter knucklehead in the interview, to the point where it was actually quite entertaining. If the guidelines above are ignored, these are the Biden Title IX guidelines, or even questioned, you can be charged with harassment. You remember the name Betsy DeVos? She was the former education secretary under Donald Trump. She worked on Title IX rules. She's responding now to Joe Biden's rewriting of these rules. Quote, the Biden administration's radical rewrite of Title IX guts the half century of protections and opportunities for women and callously replaces them with radical gender theory. The regulation is an assault on women and girls. It makes it a federal requirement that boys be allowed in girls' bathrooms in elementary schools. What could possibly go wrong? You gotta let people be free to be me, or they and them, if they prefer those pronouns instead. It makes it a federal requirement that men be allowed to play in women's sports. So much for privacy. So much for women competing against women and bearing the fruit of their hard work just getting stolen. And it makes it a federal requirement that feelings, not facts, dictate how Title IX is enforced. And that brings us back full circle. We used to live in an era where we understood feelings are not authoritative. Even the atheist can conclude some natural logic and reason dictates this is the way things are. You can, if you choose to, you can argue against the source, but deny the source and say that there is no nature's God, there's no right and wrong, there's no morality, there's no values, is just nuts. And it has no part in this culture. But we've accepted that and embraced that now. And postmodernism is the Elvis of our society. Elvis, who ushered in raunchy rock and roll. Postmodernism is the vehicle that was driven to bring us all to the brink of utter insanity. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.